Hello, my name is Harold Bigham. James 3:13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." The book of James describes who is wise. Wisdom is defined by Jesus as hearing and obeying him. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Matthew 7:24-27. Jesus said, "The one that is wise is the one that will hear him and obey him." May we study today some of the characteristics of a wise person in the book of James. First of all, a wise person is a doer of the word. James 1:22-25. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We must obey the gospel to go to heaven. Peter says, "Seeing ye purified your souls, and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." 1 Peter 1:22-23. After obedience to the gospel, we are now Christians. James states that one must be a doer of the word, or be actively living the Christian life. If one only hears and doesn't practice what he hears, it will be useless. This is applicable to both the non-Christian and the Christian. We must actively pursue the word in our lives. Secondly, a wise person practices pure religion. James 1:27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James 1:27. James commands that the orphans and widows in their affliction be taken care of by members of the church, individually or collectively. Additionally, James says that as Christians that we must keep oneself unspotted from the world of sin. A Christian practices pure religion by being devoted to God. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." A Christian practices pure religion by worshiping God in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:8-9. But then thirdly, a wise person is a friend of God. James 2, beginning in verse 14 through 27. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James 2:14-24. Abraham was called the friend of God due to his faithfulness to God under the patriarchal age in which he lived. We also can be called the friend of God if we obey God without question. Jesus said that we are his friend if we obey him when we become a Christian, and then as we faithfully serve him. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. Isn't it a great thing to be called the friend of God? Yet it is a terrible thing to be called an enemy of God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James 4:4. But then also, in the fourth place, a wise person is disciplined in his speech. James 3:2-12. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. James 3:2-12. The tongue is small, yet the tongue is mighty. It can be used for good or evil. A wise person does as James illustrates and disciplines his speech. But then, in the fifth place, a wise person keeps God in his plans. James 4:13-17. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:13-17. We become busy in life's plans, and many times we fail to include God in our plans. James says that life is very short, very brief in time, so we must have wisdom in our time management. We must include God in our time management. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. But then finally today, a wise person shows patience. James 5:10-11. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James 5:10-11. A wise person is patient in suffering for God. The prophets of old were patient in their suffering for God. James specifically named Job and his patience. When trials come, the Christian is to be patient. Peter said, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." 1 Peter 2:20. James teaches us, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." James 1:2-3. The Christian can remember that his labor is not in vain. This is a great help in developing patience in our life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. My friend, God's plan of salvation reveals that after hearing the gospel being taught, that we are to have faith. Romans 10:17, Mark 16:15-16. This faith leads us to repent of our sins and to confess the good name of Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Luke 13:3-5, Romans 10:9-10. The final step of God's plan of salvation is scriptural baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. We are then commanded to be faithful even until we die for Jesus, to go to heaven in the afterwhile. Revelation 2:10. Christ has added us into his body, unto his church. Acts 2:42. And we are to be faithful, as we've already said, even until we die for him. Revelation 2:10. My friend, do you love God's word? Will you consider our study today? May God bless you as you continue to read and to study the Bible.